But I prayed and asked the Lord maybe what He'd have us to do tonight. And I thought about that message that Brother Scott preached. The message seemed like it's been the message of our heart for the whole summer. It is the message on repentance. Amen. We've been preaching it everywhere we've been. It's the need of the church tonight. And I appreciate the preacher preaching the message tonight on repentance. Now let me tell you tonight why some of you don't repent. I'm not going to preach on that. God's got done that well enough. I want to just help you just a second. I want to tell you why you don't repent. It's not because you don't want to. Some of it's not because you don't want to. You've come up and tried 4 or 5 times to repent of something, go back and don't get the victory. Let me tell you why. You're repenting like Judas to yourself. It takes an object to take care of repentance. And the object, that's why he quoted that verse, that he's faithful and just to forgive. You know why he's just to forgive? He's the justifier.
Amen.
He's the one who paid the price and made him able to forgive. So when you come to this altar and ask God to help you repent, He'll help you repent, but you're going to have to realize that you're poor in spirit. Amen? And all the good that you could ever do, and all the good intentions you have, and everything you mean to do about living right when you get out of here, you'll probably not keep because you're just flesh and blood. And if you don't come before this altar and break your heart down and let the Lord Jesus know that before Him you can't do it, you set your affections on the cross and what He did at Calvary for you, if you'll depend upon the blood of Christ and that alone, you'll find that there's grace sufficient, there's help for every need, and God Himself will help you repent. He'll not ask you to do a thing that He won't do for you, but you'll have to step out by faith. You'll have to set your affections on Him. You'll have to turn from your sin, just like our preacher preached, and you'll have to believe God to give you the victory, and you'll find it'll be sufficient for you if you do that. But I find us all over the country, us independent Baptists, we're trying to repent, but we don't know what of. We're just trying to get a case of do betters. That's kind of like it is, you know, if you make your mother mad, you decide the best thing to do for Mountain Day is for me to go in and clean up the house real good and fix everything up and she'll be satisfied. That's not repentance, that's repair, amen? And that's what we try to do. We try to repair things, but we don't always get them repaired, amen? And we can't, by the way, there's nothing you can do to fix your sin. Did you know that? There's not one thing that you sitting out there in that pew today, young people, can do to fix any sin in your life. Nothing.
Right.
You can do better from now on, and it won't fix the one you got trouble with now.
Amen.
You got to bring it to the foot of the cross.
Yes, sir.
It's got to come to the cross. And I'm so thankful tonight for the message our preacher preached. I'm telling you, that'll set revival. That'll set revival. Now, some of you tonight, you want to see God, like our preacher said. Now, how many of you tonight would raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm going to try to hurry." How many of you raise your hand tonight and say, "Preacher, now tell the truth, I'd really like to see God do something this week, something supernatural." Amen? Amen? All right? I appreciate that. But let me just show you how wicked your heart is. Some of you didn't come to the altar because He didn't preach on your sin.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You think it's okay now since the preacher missed yours.
Amen.
He mentioned everything else, but he missed yours, so whew, I got by. But if we really wanted to see God, you wouldn't even have to be preached on to get to the altar.
Amen.
Amen? Wouldn't have to have somebody pointed at you because you wouldn't want anything in your soul that would keep God from stirring in your heart. You'd already found your way to an altar. Wouldn't nobody have even called you because you want things clean in your soul. Now, I have to watch it in my own life all the time. I thought maybe I might add an addendum to his message and preach behind him on secret sins. Because that's what's killing us today. We're categorizing sin, and we've got these little secret sins. And preacher, I'm not listening to rock and roll music, and I'm not drinking, and I'm not running around. But you're gossiping about the people around you, and you're back talking your folks, and you don't read your Bible like you ought to, and you got a burr under your saddle about everybody and everything, and you know it's just my little personal secret sin, and so I just can't seem to get that straight. And after all, preacher, it's just me, and you know I'm just me being. Man, it's the way mom and daddy raised me and all that kind of hogwash and nonsense. But I don't think God's going to let me do that tonight either because the preacher did such a good job in front of me a while ago. One of these days I'm going to preach in front of him and get what the Holy Spirit told him to preach. Amen. But tonight, if you'll take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy 1:12, I want to give you this message God's given me. And I hope it'll be an encouragement to you tonight. Tonight, I'm so thankful for you. Amen. I'm glad you want to hear a preacher talk to you about not sinning. Amen. So many folks today, so many young people today could care less. And you know why they could care less? Nobody's ever showed them. Nobody's ever told them what's going on. They don't know what in the world's happening in this world. They're running around like a termite in a yo-yo. They don't know what's going on at all. And it's so good that you're gathered together today to hear the preaching of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 1:12, you know this verse. Paul's speaking here and he says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Let's pray, and I want to talk to you for a little bit on this. Out of this verse on the thought of not ashamed, not ashamed. Let's pray. Father, today we love you and we thank you, God, that you sent the man of God to speak to our heart tonight, Lord, about repentance. God, Lord, we need to be scrubbed clean, Father. Lord, we needed tonight to be, pushed in the chest and said, things are not right, but if you'll make them right, if you'll come to me, I'll make them right. I thank you for him tonight. Thank you for his faithfulness and his burden, God. And I pray tonight for these young people that Lord, they'll have enough spiritual sense to let the Holy Ghost apply it. Now, Father, I ask you tonight to help this preacher preach. God, help me encourage these young folks tonight, God. Lord knows, Father, I'm thankful for each one of them. And God, I want to see you do something in their life. And I pray, Lord, in this few minutes that I have, allow me to encourage them, Father, tonight. Or Lord, allow the Holy Ghost to use the words you've given me to encourage them, Father. And Lord, we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Paul, in this text, he said, "I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." Now, folks, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight about this idea of not being ashamed. Now, most of you tonight would say, "Preacher, I'm not ashamed that I'm a child of God. I'm an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist, and I got some more subtitles I can put in there if I need to. You know, I believe a lot of stuff, and I'm not ashamed of it." But I want you to really kind of get a hold of where Paul was when he wrote this, if you could. Matter of fact, he's sitting in the jailhouse. Now, it's really easy to be ashamed when you're in a jailhouse. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been in a jailhouse or not, and I hope and pray to God if you never have been, you won't ever be unless you're going down and a preacher pass out tracts. But I'm telling you, in the jailhouse, it's kind of hard not to be ashamed even if you're innocent. Amen? Now, Paul's in the jailhouse, and he's innocent, but he says, "I'm telling you now, Timothy, I'm writing word to you, son," and this is one of the last things that Paul ever writes, really, and he's writing in this text, and he's saying, "I want you to know something about me now, Timothy. I've been through some things in my life. I've been through some struggles in this Christian life. But I'm not ashamed of the life that God's given me. And I'm not ashamed of the life that I've lived. And most of all, I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ." And I want you to know today, folks, we live in an age today where you're going to constantly be barraged and tempted and be tempted to be ashamed of Jesus. Right. Now, look here. Paul's testimony has been brought into question. He's in the jailhouse because his testimony has been brought into question. Somebody's looked at Paul's life and they said, "You're not what you think you are. You're not what everybody says you are. And by the way, you're an enemy of the state." And they've taken him down there and they put him in jail because he doesn't fit in their company. He doesn't fit in what they believe. And somehow or another they can't manage him and they can't control him. And so they put him in the jailhouse. Now I'm telling you today, your testimony is in jeopardy. Everywhere you go and everywhere you turn, because you're a Bible-believing Baptist, amen, 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 because of what you believe, you're going to be tempted on every side to be ashamed, amen? You're going to be, now Jesus said if we're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of us before the Father. That's what our Lord said Himself. So we've got to be careful that we don't let this make us ashamed. Say, "I never would, preacher." I don't know about that. No, I don't know about that. There's certain times when we're all just kind of tempted to maybe just let things go by. I mean, just be easier now. The devil said, "Just be easier for you not to pass out of track right now, because after all, you'll create a scene." Well, let me tell you something. If you've got to create a scene every time you witness or every time you pray, I want you to know you're not being a blessing to Jesus. You're being a blessing to yourself. Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. God's men never are. They're never exalted in pride. They never bring attention to themselves, but they always bring attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that. I'm telling you, people, folks, the people who have problems with people are people who have problems with pride.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
So what we got to understand is, although our testimony is going to be called into question from time to time, are you going to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ for what you believe? I'll tell you, Paul's motives have been questioned. I mean, they said, Paul, listen, one place they said, Paul won't take any money. We can't pay him. Well, he's working on it, making his own way, and we can't take care of him. And so something's wrong with Paul. He's got some bad motives. He's trying to make his own religion out here. He won't follow what everybody else believes. He thinks his way is the only way. And boy, they just question old Paul's motives right and left. But Paul said, I'm still not ashamed. I'm getting somewhere in a hurry. Paul's ministry had been sabotaged. Now, some of y'all listen to me now. You're young people. But I'm telling you, somewhere in your life, the devil or some believer, other believers, are going to sabotage your ministry. Amen? You're going to be ashamed of Jesus. I hope and pray today that none of these preachers in this room down here will ever let you down. But we just might. We're flesh and blood. Right. Amen? Are you going to roll up your stuff, pile up your Bible, and quit because somebody else quits? Amen? You see, everywhere Paul went to preach, everywhere he set up, them Judaizers followed right behind him. And they set up camp right where he was at. And they tried to do everything they could to twist and to mangle the work that Paul had done. Everywhere he went, the devil was after him, trying to sabotage the work that he was going on. And I tell you, in your Christian life, there's going to be people. You go home, and maybe there's a mother or dad or an aunt or an uncle or somebody there who will say, look, don't you get so excited. Just don't turn into a complete nut about this deal. Listen, are you going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Paul said, I'm not ashamed.
Right.
I'm not ashamed now. I'm not ashamed of what I believe. Listen, his body was neglected and mistreated. Everywhere Paul went, his calling was misunderstood. His expectations had been detoured. I mean, I don't think Paul really thought that he'd spend the last part of his ministry in the jailhouse writing letters out to send out to churches around the country. He really didn't have time for all that. That's because why he told John Mark, listen, we can't take John Mark with us on the second trip because that boy's quit and gone home one time, and I don't have time to mess with a quitter. There's too many souls to get saved. But you know what happened? The Lord Jesus saw fit to put Paul in the jailhouse for most of the last part of his ministry, and he wrote letters to people just like John Mark. Amen, amen, amen. Just to put us right back on the track. See, too many times we're running around, beloved, charging the devil with all this, and it just might be God. It just might be God that's putting you in a bad place. It just might be God that's putting you in a strain. It just might be God. If I was the devil, I wouldn't show you what your sin was. If I was the devil, I wouldn't... See, what you want to do is run to the altar and go back and feel good again. We don't want to get it fixed. We just want to feel good again. Get this thing fixed. If I was the devil, I wouldn't tell you nothing was wrong with you. And somebody said, well, the old devil's after me. Because you're walking around aggravated and upset, the devil's after me. No, he's not. That ain't the devil. He don't care. He wouldn't show you what your problem is. That's God showing it to you. See, he wants you to get somewhere to altar, just like the preacher said. He loves you so much, he's going to show you whatever's wrong in your soul so you can make it down here and get it straight. Now, are you going to be ashamed of what God's doing in your life? I mean, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what God's done. I'm not ashamed of what God's doing. And I'm not ashamed of God's people. Now, Paul, his comrades had all forsaken him, but he still said, I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
I mean, one by one, systematically, they'd all gone. Only Luke's with him, and he's hoping Timothy will get there with a coat before wintertime gets here. Systematically, they've all gotten enough and left. But Paul said, I'm still not ashamed.
Amen.
Now, if I'd have been Paul, I'd been writing my swan song, I might have said, it broke my heart when Demas forsook me. It broke my heart when Barnabas and I got crossed. I might have filled all that stuff out, but not Paul. He said, Timothy, I'm telling you, I've suffered some things for the cause of Christ. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
Folks, young people, right now is the best time of your life.
Right.
Listen, I'm telling you, you had messed up so bad it can't be fixed. Amen, amen, amen. When God picked old Peter up, he was by that water, he was drowning. He was beginning to sink, amen. That's what the book said. He was beginning to sink. And you hadn't sunk, amen. You still got a whole life ahead of you to serve God. But you got to decide today, once and for all, are you going to be a Bible-believing Christian? Are you going to throw your hat in with this ring, amen? Are you going to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you going to take your hands off your own life? Are you going to sacrifice your ambitions and your ideas? ideas to the foot of the cross and let God give you some new ones, if you'll do that today, I'll tell you there'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory. You'll know God in a way you've never known Him before. You'll have power in your life. I'm telling you, you may suffer for the cause of Christ. You may hurt. You may be forsaken, but your Savior will be all that you could ever be. Why don't you get a hold of something supernatural? Why don't you leave this old rotten world alone? Why don't you forget about the lowest things made in life and go to the other side with Him? Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you can whip me with a pole and put me in jail. And when you get me down there, you know what I'll do? I'll say, blessed be the name of the Lord in the jailhouse in the middle of the night. Or you can cast me out in the middle of the deep. And I'll just hold on till God shows up. And when I get back out, I'll tell whoever the first one I see, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. So that's me, preacher. That's what I want to do. You'll never do it that way. Amen. Say, I'm not ashamed of you. You ain't never had nothing to be ashamed about.
Right.
How you know? Say, I'm going to be an overcomer. How you going to overcome? You ain't never been in a fight.
Amen.
Huh?
Good.
Ain't never been in a struggle yet. Amen.
Amen.
It's kind of like slamming your hand in the car door. You better quit cussing before you get to that point. Once you slam your hand in the car door, if you hadn't already quit cussing, it won't be a convenient season to work on that conviction. Will it? You better make your mind up now. I'm one of God's children. That's what I am. I'm one of God's children. I'm going to love God. I'm going to live for God. If it lives the whole world, half Chicago, I'm sticking with God. Not ashamed. Paul said over there, nevertheless. He said, sure enough, there's been some problems, but nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. That's me, preacher. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Well, if we're not ashamed, why don't we get the smack, like Brother Jack Wood used to say, the smack of the world off of us. Amen? We're ashamed, brethren. Don't you let anybody talk you into being ashamed that you're a child of God. I mean, nowadays we got to dress like the world just as close as we can. We got to get just as close as we can to whatever they're doing. I mean, we got to get their little facial features and their little facial hair, and we got to look just like them. And we'll swear up now, we're not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'll go all the way. We won't go all the way. We can't even do those little old bitty things that would make us different. Say, well, I don't believe that's necessary for you to be a child of God. Me neither. But I believe it's necessary to set you apart from a wicked world. Amen, amen, amen. I believe it's necessary to put a sign up that says, I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and the old book and the old way.
Amen.
Listen, I don't believe convictions make you right with God, but I feel like you're going to have a hard time being right with God without some.
Yes, sir.
Number one, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know this verse, Romans 1:16. You could quote it for me probably today. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I tell you, I'm not ashamed today, dearly beloved, to depend upon the blood of Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Amen, amen, amen. How about you today? So that's right, preacher. Am I over your head?
That's good preaching.
I ain't hooking up, though. This applies to you. You understand what I'm saying to you? I've already done things that says I'm ashamed. But you hadn't yet. So I believe it takes the blood of Jesus in that alone. Do you know what I was being taught today? Huh? All over the world. People, listen, some of you are not going to be Glory Land Baptist Church forever.
Right.
Some of you young girls are going to marry an old boy, and he's going to move you to another county, another state, somewhere else. And you better know what you believe. Amen, amen, amen. You better pray and find the right one now. Some of you boys are going to go to college, and you're going to get a job transfer. And God's going to set you down somewhere and try what you believe. And you better know what you stand for. You don't need a purpose-driven nothing. You need the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Not plus nothing, not minus nothing. I'm not ashamed to stand flat-footed and preach the blood of Jesus Christ alone.
Amen.
Is all it takes for salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Not ashamed of it today, brother. I don't believe we've got to go the world's way to package it. It don't have to be packaged in new wrappings. It don't have to be shined on the wall. It don't have to be sung in handbooks. All that has to be done is preached by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. The blood of Jesus Christ will save from the uttermost to the guttermost. Amen. Not ashamed. Not ashamed of it today. Not ashamed. Listen, I'll tell you, say, well, preacher, I just don't know. Hey, I'll tell you, I've been tempted, brother. Brother, I deal with a rough crowd. These folks all look pretty good right now. These youngins. But I mean, I come from a rough... We work with a rough bunch. And it's mighty tempting to go out there and lead some drug addict to God and then tell him you need to get the program somewhere. Amen? Mighty tempting to depend on something else other than the blood. But I'm telling you, everyone I've ever seen that depended on anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ to set them free always, always went back. But those that depended on the blood alone, it set them free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hear me, young people. I know you understand what I'm saying. Don't you let anybody talk you into believing anything else. That old book preached that old way, and that blood will fix any problem, every problem. It delivers man from sin. It keeps man right with God. If it keeps our fellowship where it ought to be, I'm not ashamed to depend upon the blood, and that's that in a supreme place.
Yes,
we burn that back up.
Right.
They're backing up everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. Listen, everywhere we go, we got to have a cell group, we got to have some other literature, we got to have some book, we got to have something other than the blood.
Right.
I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to believe it's the answer for every problem. Can you imagine Apostle Paul, when he saw, walking off down that road, I got to hurry up, man. I'll hurry up quick. He's treading off down that road, kicking dust, and he's looking for another Christian he can persecute. I mean, this is this man's mission. When he gets out of the bed in the morning, what he's thinking about is persecuting a Christian. When he goes to bed at night, he's tallying up how many he got for the day. Everything this man thinks is about persecuting Christians and the burning his side of Stephen. You know who he was, don't you? He saw a testimony in a man of God that he'd never seen before, something he never expected to happen, and he just can't get that out of his way, so he, like everybody else, he'll just kill them. He'll kill all of them to whatever it takes to get that done. But you know what happened? He met the Lord Jesus. He met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. And you know, all he really did was believe. He really didn't do anything else. He didn't take 40 days of purpose. Amen. He didn't do it. And he didn't join no kind of group. He didn't study no booklets. He didn't do nothing. He just believed. Went down to the next town and first chance he got, he started preaching. I mean, all he did was believe. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to tell anybody anywhere the gospel can set them free. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the great Redeemer. He'll set them free today, people. He'll set them free here. He'll set them free across the ocean. He'll set them free in that desert over there where they're killing each other. The gospel will set men and women free. We can't never back up from the gospel.
Amen.
Not the gospel plus social programs. Not the gospel plus educational programs. But the gospel is what sets men free.
Amen.
Now listen to me. Say, preacher, I'm just a young person. Yeah, but you're the one. Listen, do you know what God thought of you? He thought enough of you to let you be born in such a time as this. And in such a time as this. I mean, if the Lord doesn't hold His cut, doesn't return in the next little bit, some of you are going to be preaching the good word of God. Some of you are going to be rip-roaring around in a pulpit somewhere trying to preach the Bible. Some of you little ladies are going to be bringing an armload of kids to church. And you better know what you believed in, amen. Because we're living in an untoward generation. And you can't find the old preachers anymore. And you don't hear the old songs anymore. And you better decide right now if you're one of God's or not. And if you are one of God's, bless God, get in all the way.
Amen.
Hey man, this is a youth meeting. Let's do something we want to do something with.
Yes.
You're not 40 years old, got a cocaine habit. That's not where you're at. You don't have three or four wives to try to pay alimony to where you can't support missionaries. You're not tore all to pieces. I mean, your whole life's ahead of you. I mean, right now, do something for God.
Amen.
Not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, brother. I'm not ashamed. It's that gospel. I'm not ashamed to preach it. I'm not ashamed to spread it, amen. I'm not ashamed to give my life to promote it. I'm telling you, like old Paul, you know what the gospel called Paul? Everything. You know what Jesus Christ is going to ask of you? Everything you have, amen. He wants it every bit. He wants that song in your voice. He wants that glitter in your eye, little girl. He wants that smile on your sweet face. I mean, He wants everything today. And He's worthy of giving it to. The devil will take it all from you. But if you'll give it to Christ, He'll take care of it.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Oh no, not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you today, and I know you know what I'm talking about today. It's just a simple little message. I know no great truths here, but it's the meat and potatoes that we live on. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God.
Amen.
Especially my King James Bible.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of it, folks. Listen, this thing has held me in the middle of the night when nobody else would. You hear me? It's helped me when no, listen, when I couldn't see the day, when I was so confused, my little old wife was sitting saying, "What are we going to do now, Tim? You've made a mistake so big, I don't know we're going to get out of this. What are we going to do now?" You know what I did? I opened this old book up and I found some solace inside, and God met the needs of my heart. God put me on the right track. I'm not ashamed of this old book. Amen, amen, amen. It's never out of place. You hear me? It's not out of place in the business place. It's not out of place in the schoolhouse. It's not out of place in the grocery store. It's not out of place when you go anywhere. This old book, I'm not ashamed of today. Amen. Listen, we too many of us, we're ashamed of the book. Listen, you'll be tempted somewhere in your life to back up. You know, why not just do something else? You go to the bookstore in our town today. If you want a King James Bible, you've got to order the thing. Can't go buy it. You can buy, you get HIV or NIV or something there, but you can't get that. You can't get that. I'm not ashamed of this book, people. I'm telling you, I'm not ashamed. You know what? You youngins can't get this. These preachers do. Hey, you don't know how it is to have a couple come sit down in your hall, in your office, and one of them say, "Preacher, I've had all I'm taking, I'm leaving." And the other one say, "Let her go, I'm sick of her." And you got to figure out what you fix to say to help this situation. You know what? I'm not ashamed to open this old book up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen.
Right.
I don't have to have 7 ways of counsel. I ain't got to have a better homes and gardens or 7 living to work out of. I can open this old book and stand right in the middle of it. And whatever happens, let her go. I'm not ashamed to stand on this old book.
Right.
I hope you're not either.
Right.
You know, this old book's where you're going to find it. I like what the preacher said about sprinkling a little magic dust. Everybody wants you to have a little magic wand to give them a little magic Christianity. But you know where you're going to get your strength at? Like the old man said, with your book in a nook somewhere. Amen? I mean, this is a spiritual thing. But you're not going to be full of the Holy Ghost till you get full of this book. Amen? Today, you know why we're not convicted of sin, Brother Justice? David said in Psalms 19, he said, "When I considered the Word, that's when I saw my sin." Today, we can't preach on sin. Nobody cares because nobody sees it in the book. Amen. They don't read the book. We don't study the book. We don't use the book. So it don't mean nothing. Listen, I can call sin sin. You turn blue in the face, it won't mean nothing to you. But if you get it out of this book, the Holy Ghost of God will stick it in your heart and He'll change your life. You got to stick with the book. Please, young people, if you get anything this preacher tells you tonight, if you get anything I'm telling you tonight, you get a love for this book. You hear me? And the God of this book. Amen? Some of us have got the book on everything. That's all we got is a book. But I'm telling you, not only do I love the book, I love the God of the book. This is His book. This is expression of His mind. And I'm telling you today, He's altogether wonderful. And if you ever get in His presence, won't nobody have to preach to you about what you ought to start quitting? Because you quit everything that'll take you out of His presence. Amen. I mean, you'll be dropping it off ever what you wear. You'll do anything just to spend one more moment with Him. He's wonderful today. I'm talking to you about something the world can't do. You know why they can't do it? They ain't got it. They're dead in sin. So you know what they try to do? They try to shoot up a high. Or they try to buy a high. Or they try to pay off a high. They try to do something to substitute for what it is when you get on your knees before God and cry out, "Abba, Father," and the glory of heaven floods over your soul and all is well. Amen, amen, amen. When that old boy wrote that song, he wouldn't know no narcotics. He wouldn't know no drugs. He'd stand up looking in a watery grave where his children had just drowned. But he could say with all seriousness of his soul, "It is well with my soul." You know why? Because the God of glory was all he ever needed. You don't need the world. You don't need the things of the world. It'll never do for your soul what you need. It'll never meet your need. And listen, you will never be spiritual enough to do right without God. You're going to have to have Him. I'm telling you today, people, what you need, you don't need no more convictions. You need Him. You need Him. You don't need another routine. You need Him. And you need to get on your own face before God and hang on right there and confess and pray and trust and believe on Him. Amen.
Right.
He'll meet your needs of your life. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the old time convictions that I was taught. Boy, I've never seen a time, preacher, where we've been tempted to drop them.
That's right.
I'm not ashamed of them. I still believe men ought to dress like men, look like men, act like men, smell like men. I still believe it. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes,
I ain't got no feminine side to get in touch with. My feminine side lives up there at home. She don't travel with me because she's scared to ride down the road with me. She's afraid I'm going to kill her. So if I get in touch with her, I'll have to go out here somewhere tonight and find one of the little towers on that cell phone and try to call her up. That's the only one I got. Amen. That's what I believe. I still believe women ought to look modest and be modest. Amen, amen, amen. So that's good preaching here. I preached it in my church just the other night, same way. And I still believe that. I still believe we ought to go to church 3 times a week. Amen. And I believe we ought to pray without ceasing. I still believe that. Amen. I still believe we ought to give a tithe of everything we get. And I still believe we ought to give to missions on top of that. Amen, amen, amen. I believe we owe every lost man we see a gospel tract, a smile, and if we get the opportunity, tell him about the good news of Jesus Christ. I still believe what they taught me, brother. I'm telling you, we got churches today, we can't get them in long enough to teach them anything. What are you going to do? You going to hang around long enough to be counted for? Huh? David said over there, I believe in Psalms chapter 12, he said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." Now, I want you to think about that verse just a minute. That verse didn't say, there is no godly man. He said, "Help, Lord, the godly man ceaseth." So evidently there was a godly man, and he's backing up. Right? Did I add anything to that verse? "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." So that means there's an opportunity and a potential for every one of us in this building to back up on God if we don't take care of those little wicked, ignorant sins that come up in our lives. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
The potential's there for every one of us. And if I'm not going to be ashamed of God, then I'm going to have to stay right. I'm not ashamed for them old-time convictions. I'm not ashamed of them. I'm not ashamed of the people of God. I'm telling you, I'm hurrying. Now listen, I am not ashamed of God's people. Boy, I'm telling you, folks, when we talk about the hypocrites at the church, let me tell you something. Them people at that church will pray for you when you can't pray for yourself. Listen, that little sister that comes in that you make light of, toting all that stuff, that one's got 4 songbooks under her hand, you know, and she's speaking to everybody, walking up and down the aisle when she gets there, and you just think she's the weirdest thing. You know what she's doing for you? She's probably got your name wrote in one of them books, and she's praying for you every morning and every night before you go to bed. I'm telling you, I wouldn't take nothing for the people of God. I'm not ashamed of them. Amen. I'm not just saying, well, the preachers are falling one at a time. I tell you, I have to ask God to forgive me. Every time one falls and I hadn't prayed for, every time one struggles and I hadn't held his hands up, I got to ask God to help me with that. I'll tell you why today, folks, because that's my family, amen.
Yes, sir.
That's my family, brother. I'm not with my family tonight, my physical family. Some of them ain't doing right. But these God's people, they're our family.
Yes, sir.
And listen, they'll pray for you when you can't pray for yourself. They'll take care of you when you can't pay your bills. They'll hold your hand.
Right.
And they won't even tell anybody they did it. That's what they'll do. You know what they'll do? They'll come by and pat you on the head and say, "Now, darling, it's so good to see you," when ain't nobody told you that before. Ain't nobody else in the whole world look forward to seeing you. But you come to God's house, and they're everywhere just shaking your hand, smiling and grinning at you. You know, they're not putting on. They love you. I'm not ashamed of God's people, folks.
Amen.
I'm not Brother Charlie Andrews, my friend. Me and him don't get to fellowship like we ought to. But I'm telling you, Brother Justin, I'm not ashamed of Brother Charlie. He's my friend. Amen. He preaches the Word of God. I bet Brother David had been 20 years ago. We sat down today and thought about it. I've had his name wrote in my Bible. I pray for him every time God brought him up. Across my soul, I prayed for him. I'm not ashamed of that brother. Amen. I'm not ashamed of him. I'm not ashamed of these men of God. I'm not ashamed of that missionary on the field. I'm not ashamed of these men today. Thank God for them.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. You ought to learn. We're not be ashamed of God's people. Amen. We got some around our place that's nutty in a fruitcake. I ain't ashamed of them. And they're nuts. You know, they got saved. Now they're saved nuts. That's all they are, saved nuts. That's all they are. I tell you what, I ain't ashamed of them. They call me on the phone and I say, "What's going on, brother?" You know why? Because they ain't ashamed of me. Ain't ashamed of me. They've oft, like you said, like Omniforce, a good friend. They've oft refreshed me. And they've never been ashamed of my chains, amen. And they've held me up, and I'm just not ashamed of the people of God. And here's the last thing, folks. I'm not ashamed of the hope of eternity. Some of you kids may not know who he is, but some of you grown folks might know. There's a real smart man on the radio. His name's O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly. He's a real smart guy. I mean, he's a genius. I heard him talking the other day, and he said, "Now, if you're one of them people that still believe in the problem. He's teaching on God. He believes in God, see? And he's talking about God. And he said, if you're one of them people who still believes in Adam and Eve and a snake and a garden somewhere, man, you're out of it. Get with it. You know, the world's left you far behind. That's what he said, national television, national radio, over and over again. You know what? Still believing in God. I still believe in a snake. Still believe in the tree of life. Amen, amen, amen. I still believe that sin plunged us into everlasting darkness. And I still believe the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all unrighteousness. Amen. I tell you one thing. I stand at a funeral, look down in the face of somebody I know who loved God. I'm not ashamed to say their soul is in heaven. I ain't talking about three little pigs or Goldilocks. I tell you, I'm not talking about no fairy tale. I'm talking about a street of gold, amen, and a river that runs through the middle of that, fruit on every side. Hey, I'm not ashamed. I'm looking forward to going one of these days. I'm not ashamed of the hope that's within me. God's got a heaven somewhere. I talked to a professor. One of my girls went to a secular college, and every day she went in, and this professor tried to tear up her faith. Every day. Every day he worked on her faith. Amen. I told her he ought to try the old man. Because I ain't ashamed, brother. I ain't ashamed to slap flat-footed, look him right between his God-given eyeballs and tell him, God saved me from the depths of the devil's hell. He pulled me out. He changed my life. He put a Bible in I couldn't even read when I got saved, no amount to nothing. Listen, I never had seen nothing higher and taller than an oak tree or a silo. And God sent me all around the world on His nickel preaching the Word of God. I'll tell you, don't tell me He's not there. He's flooding around in my soul. And all you got to do to get me cranked up is just say, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
Are you ashamed? You ashamed? Come on now, think with me, young folks. You're ashamed. When you go back to school, you're going to be ashamed. Well, preacher, you don't know how it is. I don't know. They beat Paul up. He said he's not ashamed. Paul's not ending a famous life. I got some good people in my church. And they're struggling with their life right now because they'll tell you they're not ashamed, but they are. They took jobs. You hear me? Are you listening to me? They took jobs that kept them away from the house of God, that affected their families because the money was there and the money was right. And they were ashamed to trust God. That's all that amounted to. They were ashamed to trust God, so they did other things. So what are you going to do? Huh? What are you going to do when it comes time to run around with the folks and you get in the car and the music is boom, 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 boom? Are you going to be ashamed to say, excuse me, I can't go this way. I can't walk with you because it would shame my Lord. What are you going to do? I mean, you don't have to be a fool about it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you get in that situation? That old boy says, but I love you. What are you going to do? I can't live without you. It's going to be all right. We love each other. What are you going to do? Are you going to be ashamed of Jesus? Or are you going to say, excuse me, I'm already given to the King. And until He gives you a license to put your hands on me, put them in your pocket and let me away from you. Huh? Are you going to be ashamed? See, it's got an application. I ain't just preaching out here in the air so we can raise our hands. It's got an application. You're going to be ashamed of the Word of God when it's 7:30 or 8 o'clock and some goofy television program's on and you'll leave your Bible closed and sit all night in front of that idiot box because you need it more than you need the book. See, you can get ashamed, can't you? Isn't it easy to be ashamed? Isn't it easy to be ashamed? Some of you grown people, when you go home for Thanksgiving dinner, they get around the table and start to eat. You're going to be ashamed of God, or are you going to say, excuse my family and I while we pray? I mean, are we going to be ashamed? Are we going to be ashamed to hold that banner high? I'm so glad they weren't ashamed. Let me tell you what they felt about it. Old Paul believed it so strongly. He said, not only have I been counted to believe, been trusted to believe on Him, but I've been trusted to suffer with Him. Paul said it's a joy to suffer with Him. Paul believed it's going. You know, if you were a first century believer, what you'd do? You would expect to lose your house. You'd expect to lose your house, probably lose your income, and most likely die. for the cause of Christ. If you had been one of the early church. Nowadays, church, we can't lose 30 minutes for a revival service during a week. And we'll say we're not ashamed of it. After all, we got some signs on our car. But there's more to it than that, isn't it? What all them secret little sins in your soul that you got stored up? Preacher preached on them tonight. Why don't you really, folks? Listen, I'm all over the place. Some of you don't know me, Madam Southcat. But I'm just trying to tell you tonight, folks. Boy, you got all the potential in the world. Oh, I'm so glad for you. I thank the Lord for you. I'm just thrilled about you being here and you sitting here. And I tell you, I hope in 10 years from now, you and me are still thrilled with our testimony. That I hadn't let you down and you hadn't let me down. And when we cross on glory side over there, we'll be able to look at Him and hear them words. See, there's two words, there's two sentences I'm still listening for. One of them I'm listening to hear, come up hither. Yeah. I'm listening. I'm yearning for the sentence, come up hither. And the second one I'm listening for, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. See, that's me, preacher. Why would you expect Him to say that to you? Most of us haven't been faithful nor servant. So why would we expect God to say that to us? But if we'll be a faithful servant, our good Lord will keep the reward. I'm glad you listened to me tonight. Let's pray, and we'll turn this over to you, preacher. If I took your time, you forgive me for it, but I told you what God wanted me to.
Yes,
Father, we love you tonight. God, you do tonight what you'd have, Lord. We're not ashamed of you. God, we're not ashamed to be independent Baptists. We're not ashamed to hold the old books, sing the old songs. Lord, we're not ashamed that these young girls are walking around the country. We're not ashamed today that we're swimming in different places. God, we're not ashamed today to believe that you can heal any problem and fix anything in our heart. Now, God, would you sweep over this place tonight? Father, do the work tonight that you've already started with the man of God in the first service. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, brother, please.